Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning and just for the opportunity to be in church. We pray all week long that God would use this place as a place of refuge. When you come through the doors, we trust that you just sense the presence of God in this place. And I trust that as you sense the presence of God, that you will readily yield your heart and your mind to receiving what God has for you today. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of John in chapter 20, John chapter 20, again, we're closing out our Faith Promise Missions Emphasis Month. And we have Faith Promise Missions because of missions. And missions is the command of the church to go into all the world. It stems from the Great Commission that we find in the Gospels given by the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in John chapter 20, it's John's account of the Great Commission on what Jesus presented to them. And so I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we read the Word of God together. John chapter 20, we're going to be reading verse 9 down to verse 22. Verse 19, the Bible says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you once again this morning, we do thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you made available to all that are here, and then for their willing decision to come to church today. And God, I just pray that you would just continue to meet with us in a very special way, and I pray for each one here that they would have an ear to hear what you have for them. And I ask that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Now we have the historical account of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as a Christian nation, it's on our calendar that we remember that God became man some 2,000 years ago. We look at that historical account and call it Christmas. As Jesus came, he lived some 33 years, and as he went out on his public ministry and as he was prepared for that, we find that he started with, after following John the Baptist, with the message, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then as he would present to them God's plan for salvation, people would receive him as their Messiah. They would receive him and he would give to them everlasting life. Well, then he went to the cross of Calvary, which they didn't understand exactly what was taking place there. And the disciples, the 12 apostles, were frightened by that and they forsook him and they saw him crucified. But then after that, he resurrected from the grave and they went to an empty tomb. We also have that recorded in our Christian calendar as a day that we are to remember that Jesus Christ, not only did he die, but he was more than man. He resurrected on that third day. And he ushered in, as we taught in Sunday morning Sunday school, he ushered in this New Testament church age. He fulfilled the Old Testament scriptures and established his church. And in establishing his church, by first of all establishing with the apostles what he wanted and how he wanted the church to be established and the function of the church and the mission of the church, When he went to them after the resurrection, as this is the passage we're reading here, now they see him as a resurrected Savior. Now they remember everything that he had been teaching them where they did not fully understand it. Now they have total confidence in him being the Messiah. No man could resurrect from the grave after they saw him crucified. There's no doubt. He showed them the scars in his hands. He showed them the scars in his feet. And so now he stands before them and they look to him as the Messiah. They look to him as God who had been manifested in the flesh. And before he would ascend up to heaven, he would give them this message. And in John's account, he says this, "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Now, they're looking to the resurrected Christ now. They know him to be God. And he says, "As my Father." The very same way, "As my Father has sent me, even so." So, as in the very same way that God the Father sent God the Son, we understand that he taught the Trinity. He had them to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, so that they would never lose sight of the Trinity of God, all three being God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so in this New Testament church age, everyone who gets saved and then is to be baptized to identify with Jesus Christ, they are to identify with God in three persons. And so we have that given to us in how we are to baptize those that receive Jesus as Savior. But he says, in the very same way that God the Father sent God the Son, then he says, even so. He's doing the very same thing that God the Father did in sending God the Son. Even so, God the Son is now sending all who want to be his disciples. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world and looks to him in order to have everlasting life. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me." And so you need to put religion aside and you need to put the philosophies of man aside and just look to the Word of God, the Bible, that God has said, "Even though heaven and earth will pass away, my word shall never pass away." God has given us an assurance that we would always have his word so that we might know the truth. We don't have to depend on a religion. We don't have to depend upon a man, but we look to the very scriptures, the very word of God, and we can know the truth. And God wants everyone to know the truth. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to a place in their life where they would repent of their sin and look to Jesus Christ and call upon the name of the Lord that they might receive everlasting life, salvation. That's God's plan. And so now as he's looking here and he wants them to know that as he was sent, the very same way he wants to send every born-again believer who wants to follow him. And we follow him, the first step of obedience as a believer is to be baptized. When you're baptized to publicly identify with Jesus and his death, his burial, and his resurrection. As we go under the water of baptism, that allows us to identify with his death and his burial. We come up out of the water of baptism, we are identifying with his resurrection. And we're saying that I'm saved, I want to identify with Jesus Christ, I want to follow him. That should be the desire of every Christian. Should be the desire of everyone who receives Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And so as he is instructing the disciples here, it is written down because it's the very same thing that Jesus is doing some 2,000 years later. We're still in this New Testament church age. He wants us to continue to do the work that he established in every generation leading up to the rapture of the church. But even so, how was he sent? I want to give you some things this morning that you can relate to, hopefully, in understanding how Jesus Christ was sent, because as He was sent by God the Father, then He, being God the Son, is now the very same way sending everyone that has looked to Him and received Him as their Savior. He says, I'm sending you. I gave you an example as I came, and I prepared you for this, but now I am sending you, and I want you to go in every generation until I come again. So how was He sent? First of all, Jesus was sent out of love with love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's exactly how He was sent. He was sent because God had a love for humanity. And out of a love for humanity, He sent Him with His love. Out of love for all the world, not just for America, not just for a certain race, a certain color, but for all people. The world represents all humanity. God loves humanity because He created humanity above every other creation. When He created Adam, He created Adam and Eve in His likeness after His image with an eternal soul. There's no other creation that God created that has it's like man. The physical body was created, and there's a lot of resemblance there, but no other creation was created in the image and likeness of God. No other creature was created with an eternal soul. Everyone here this morning, listen to me. You were created in the likeness and the image of God. And you carry on that very same bloodline of Adam who was created after God, but who failed and who went opposite God's will for his life, and he incurred sin. And because he incurred sin, he incurred the death penalty of sin. And because he incurred that, he has an old nature. Now he has a sin nature, and that sin nature is passed down upon every generation. Passed down from one father to the next generation, to the next generation, all the way. But we go all the way back to Adam, that sin nature. But Jesus came to give us a new nature. When we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Lord Savior, the Bible says that Nicodemus came to Him. He wanted to understand what Jesus was teaching concerning salvation. And he said, Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which has a physical birth gives you an opportunity to live a physical life. Everyone here has had that opportunity to live a physical life. But he said, that which is spirit is spirit. That means that when you get saved, he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. When you're born again, it means you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior. And now at that moment, at that time, you have been given this new nature and you have an opportunity to live a spiritual life. That takes place when a person receives Jesus Christ, when you get saved. Now we have an example before us, an example in the life of Christ. So He was sent out of a love for humanity. He came with that love and with a willingness to give of Himself. Can I tell you, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. When He gave us His love, He would have us to give. God gave the world His Son. Out of love, He gave. And He came with that love that He might give. And He gives us love so that we might give likewise. John chapter 15, back just a couple chapters. This is how He was sent. Jesus Christ was sent out of love with love. And now He has sent us out of love with love. It's the very same. Even so, He says, send I you. The very same way He was sent, now He is sending those who trust in Him. In John chapter 15, He would say this in verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, So have I loved you, continue ye in my love. Amen. Pretty straightforward. I mean, that. How can you wonder what he's trying to give us right there? That is as clear as it can be. And then he goes on to say, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy... Now he is attaching joy to this love and to obeying him. There is a way that God would have you to live. And when you live with this love of God in your heart, it's going to... You're going to receive a blessing of joy. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. As I have loved you, continue ye in my love. You see, we all can display this kind of love. You ask how? Preacher, I just have a hard time loving people. How can I be willing to sacrifice for others? How can I be willing to do what Jesus did, even though while I was yet a sinner, Jesus Christ died for me? When I had nothing to give back, when I was a nobody, while I was yet a sinner, Jesus Christ died for me. How can I love somebody else that way? Through him. Galatians in chapter 5. Galatians in chapter 5. In Galatians in chapter 5, we have what is known as the fruit of the Spirit. When Jesus revealed himself to his apostles, he breathed on them and they received the Spirit. During the apostolic age, it was a time where it was moving from the Old Testament to the New Testament. By the end of the apostolic age, then it was evident that whenever anyone would get saved, they would immediately receive the Holy Spirit of God to dwell within them. The Bible says they were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. They had the sealing of the Holy Spirit. That means that when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, whether you feel it or not, it's not based on feelings. It's based on the facts of God's Word. He sends a Spirit to dwell within you. And because He dwells within you, you have God inside of you. And if you have God inside of you, you have all of the power and the blessings of God through His Spirit. And so this is what he says about having the fruit of the Spirit. If you have the Spirit, you have the fruit of the Spirit. You have what the Spirit brings into your heart. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. If you're saved, can I tell you, you have the capacity through the Holy Spirit to love even the unlovable and to forgive even the unforgivable. He forgave you. He loved you. He died for you. That was the ultimate sacrifice to prove His love. He died for you. Listen to me. He loves you, and now He says, I want you to love others. And I've given you the wherewithal that you might be able to do it. Because you have the third part of the Trinity dwelling within you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. So I don't have any of that. Then either you're not saved or you're not doing what the Bible says you have to do to have this. According to Ephesians 5:18, he says, be filled with the Spirit. Now, you've already got the Spirit inside of you if you're saved. So what does he mean by being filled? It means yield to him. Realize that you're different. Realize that you're saved. You're a new creature. You have Christ in you. And if you just yield to this new Spirit, this new creature, then you have, because you have the opportunity to live a spiritual life. And the spiritual life is, first of all, that of love. having a love for humanity as God had a love for humanity, and he gave. Now Jesus says, I want you to go, and likewise I want you to love, and because if you have a love for humanity, I want you to give. Amen. You have long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That means you have all of that. You might struggle with a few of those. Yes, all of us do. But yes, listen to me. If you want that fruit of the Spirit, if you want to have that kind of life that is blessed by God, then you have to yield. His Spirit bearing witness with your spirit. There's many times as I go through life that I'm saying, Lord, help me. This person is not very lovable. But I'm supposed to be the example here, and I'm supposed to have the light, be the light of the world. And God, without you, I can't love this person, but through you, I can. Because I stop for a minute. I think, because even while I was unlovable, you loved me. If you just keep that in mind, as I have loved you. Lord, I don't know. This person, you don't know what he's done to me. I don't know that I can forgive him of that. Well, you might not be able to in and of yourself, but if you're saved, you have it within you. You just got to yield. God, help me, because I know you've forgiven me when I was unforgivable. Not only did you love me when I was unlovable, you forgave me out of things that I don't even want to think about. Some of the things I look in my heart, my mind in the past, and I'm thinking, Lord, and yet you forgave me of that. I think about that, then I, Lord, help me to remember that so I can forgive this person. Lord, help me to understand your patience so that I might be patient. Help me to understand that you're long-suffering so that I might be long-suffering. What I'm saying here, I'm saying Jesus was sent out of love with love. And even so, he says, send I you. Yeah. Not only was he sent out of love with love, but Jesus was sent prepared to do God's will. He came as God in a man's physical body. Romans in chapter 1. Look over there with me. Romans chapter 1. This is how he was sent. This is what he's talking about. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Romans 1, verse 1 says this. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. He was separate. This is what he was to do, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power. What he did with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. He was sent prepared to do God's will. Can I tell you that as Jesus came prepared to do God's will, we are saved and through salvation prepared, enabled, given what we have need of to accomplish God's call upon our lives. He prepares us by his indwelling. As he came prepared, as you get saved, you are prepared, whether you realize it or not. If Satan, if you let him do it, we fight spiritual battles, and he's going to talk you out of being confident in being able to do what God asks you to do. He's not going to force you, but you're not going to have the peace unless you do it willingly. You're not going to have the joy unless you do it willingly. We talked about that in our Sunday morning Sunday school this morning. But it's available to all that are committed to doing it. If God asks you to do something, can I tell you, He prepared you aforetime to be able to do whatever it is that He calls you to do. Jesus came prepared to live a sinless life. He came prepared to do everything He did. He came prepared to lay His life down on Calvary's cross when He had the power within Him to just snap His fingers and destroy the world. But yet He suffered the crucifixion because of a love for humanity, so that He could pay a debt that humanity owed and could not pay. Wow. So He was prepared to do God's will. Not only was He prepared, but He was given time to do it. Based on what He had to do, God's sovereignty determined 33 years. And in 33 years, He was prepared to use the time to accomplish what God had for Him to accomplish. John chapter 9. Everybody following with me this morning? Amen. It's the same. It goes back to my Father has sent me. And we looked at His life and we see exactly how He came and how he loved and how He was prepared. And then He says, even so, in the very same way, I'm sending you. You that have received me as your Savior, I am sending you. In John in chapter 9, John chapter 9, verse 4 and 5, He says this, I must work the works of Him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. As long as I am in the world. Can I tell you that Jesus was aware of time? The older I get, the faster it seems that time flies by. When I was younger, I thought, I wish time would speed up a little bit. I want to be older. I haven't had that thought in a long time. Yeah, I'm thinking, slow down. I'm not ready for another birthday. But time stops for no man. But all of us have a limited time that we're going to spend on this earth. Time was designed by God for humanity. After humanity in this world is destroyed and gone, eternity, one of the blessings is there's no more time. There's no more aging. There's no more sorrow, there's no more pain, there's no more suffering that goes along with all, with aging. What a blessing it is to know that. But God has purpose for time. Jesus says He knew He had 33 years. As long as He was here, He was going to be focused on the most important thing He could do with His time to accomplish the will of God for His life. Wow. God gives us time to do His will with our lives. Time given to God is never wasted. You've given up your time to come to church today. Can I tell you, if you really open up to what God has for you, this is the best spent time of your life. When you spend time reading the Bible and learning the very mind of God, the very best way to spend your time, the best thing you can do is learn of the biblical principles that God has given to us. One of the most important things that every Christian needs to do is learn of the promises of God and then claim those promises. You can't claim something that you've never, if you're not aware of it. And Satan would love to keep you spiritually blinded to who God is and what God can do for us. Wow. Time. Time given to God is never wasted. I love what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians. Let me just read it to you. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 5, verse 58, 15, verse 58, he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be a steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Whatever time you have, always abounding in the work of the Lord. "For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord," as you look to serve God, as you look to serve God as a man, can I tell you the most important thing you can do as a man is to be the man that God wants you to be. That means you're going to be the husband to your wife that God wants you to be. And the Bible says you're to love your wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Do you love your wife like that? Wives, as a woman, the best thing you can do is love God. And if you love God, then you're going to look to God and say, "God, help me to be the best wife I can be to my husband." And then husbands and wives, the most important work that you accomplish is to raise your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, so when they get older, they'll have a desire to love God as you have loved God. Listen to me, that's a ministry that God has given to us to continue to procreate, to continue to establish a Christian home and continue to establish the support of the church that God has established and to do the work that God has for us to do through the church. And that is what we've been emphasizing all month long, is missions. Helping people to know that God is real. Helping people to know that God loved you, he died for you, he resurrected on the third day, and he has paid a sin debt that you owe and you cannot pay, but he'll give it to you. He'll give you everlasting life. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." A message that needs to be preached from the mountaintops around the world. That's the hope of the world. That's the only hope of humanity, is looking back to an almighty creator, God. Wow. Time. What are we doing with our time? Jesus was very much aware of time. He stayed focused the entire time he walked on this earth. The last thing, and I'm done. How was he sent? He was sent with abilities. He did some amazing things as you read the scriptures in the life of Christ. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He controlled the storms. Even the wind and the waves obeyed him. He walked on water. Now, we don't have that kind of power, but we are connected to him. And he has given to us talents. Can I tell you, he's given you spiritual gifts and physical abilities to accomplish his will for your life. Are we using them to serve God? If God is real, and what we've been preaching on is true, he's given us abilities. Even so, send I you. As he was sent, he came with these abilities. And now he says, "I'm sending you, and I'm going to give you spiritual gifts, and I'm going to give you abilities." And what you're to use those abilities and those talents for is my will for your life. Now, it is God's will that we provide for our families, and so you'll find a career, you'll find an occupation that you can use those physical abilities and even some of these spiritual gifts in order to be able to work and make money, but that's not what you're here for. That's a secondary. That is to provide for your family. Primarily, God has equipped you to do something that only you can do in the place that he's planted you. You have a family. You have coworkers. You have neighbors. You have acquaintances. You have friends. You might be the only hope of them ever hearing a clear presentation on salvation. You might be the only hope that they have in order to hear, to have an opportunity to repent and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. That's just the plan of God. And as you, if you will, he brings the talents of each one together into a church. And then he says the church is like a body. And in that body, there are different functions. There is a body with talents, a hand. My hand can't do what my knee does. And he gives me a talent of hearing. My hearing cannot see. He gives me a talent, everything about my body, and we put all those talents together, and what my hands can do, and my feet can do, and my ears can do, and my mind, all of them put together make up a body that can accomplish what God has this body to accomplish. And so individually, he has things for you to accomplish, and collectively as a church, we are brought together so that we might accomplish what God has for the Lighthouse Baptist Church to accomplish in this world and in this generation that we live. Which also reveals that we have financial blessings. We taught that this morning, Faith Promise Missions. Two ways to give of our finances: tithes, which God says are His, and offerings, which are to be used outside the church to do the work of missions. As the Father has sent me. Jesus says, I'm here to represent God the Father. Now, as you've seen how He sent me, even so send I you. And we are here to represent Jesus Christ. How important it is. I think the problems that we have in society today, the problems we have in the world conditions today, could be solved with understanding, the understanding of God, His Son, and what He has for us. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. If you're saved this morning, never lose sight of this biblical truth. If you're not saved this morning, it's all about helping you to get saved. Because God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son that you might have an opportunity to be eternally saved. What a great plan. What a great plan. I trust everyone here is ready to just be and do what God would have us to be. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Jesus' account of the Great Commission, one that we need to be mindful of, one that we can understand. It's a simple plan that God has, and yet humanity has failed to fulfill God's plan. This morning, let me ask you the most important question that you can ever be asked this side of eternity. If your eyes were to close in death right now, we know not what a day may bring. None of us have the promise of tomorrow. If your eyes were to close in death today, are you 100% sure that heaven would be your home? The Bible says you can know that for sure. If you do not know that for sure, that's why we have an invitation that we're going to give in just a few minutes that gives us an opportunity to respond to whatever God has spoken to us about. If you're lost here this morning, if you're not sure, I am confident that the Spirit of God is trying to prick your heart right now. Because I know how God works. And I know he wants you to be saved, but he will not force that. He will convict you from the inside. His spirit will convict your spirit. All you have to do is yield and say, I believe and I want to receive that gift that you have for me, a gift that you paid. You paid the price for it. I want to receive it. Today you can be saved. You can walk out of here with confidence to know that whenever your life on this earth comes to an end, you have eternity in heaven to look forward to. Don't leave here without that confidence. Father, we love you. We bow before you now. We thank you for the truth of your word. And I pray that you take the message preached and you would help each one to receive whatever it is that you had for them through this message. Help them to respond in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.